Chapter 6, Part 2. "Potatoes!" exclaimed the Frenchman. "Don't make jokes, monsieur."
"It's no joke, I assure you," said Praiseworthy.
"Confound it, Praiseworthy," grumbled the Yankee trader. "No one is going to pay for spoiled potatoes."
"Nonsense," said the butler. "The spoiled potatoes may be, but juicy they are, sir. Master Jack can attest to that. Why, they were fat raindrops and brown skins, Monsieur Gaunt. You need only poke each of your grape cuttings into a plum potato, and I dare say they will stay alive all the way to Callao." The Frenchman and the Yankee trader stood facing each other in the sun, and broad smiles crept across their slack, gloomy faces.
"I'll buy your potatoes," exclaimed Monsieur Gaunt.
"I'll sell my potatoes," exclaimed Mr. Azariah Jones.
"I'm saved," said one. "I'm saved," said the other. And the bargain was struck on the spot, and Jack remained silent, but stuck his hand in his pocket and felt proud of himself. Why, if he hadn't been a stowaway, if he hadn't slaked his thirst on a potato at hand, why, some future hillside would be left without a vineyard.
"Gentlemen," said Mr. Azariah Jones, beaming at Praiseworthy and Jack, "you'll need a few tools in the gold fields. When we reach Callao, I'm going to buy you the best pick and shovel to be had."
"On the contrary," corrected the Frenchman, "it is I who will buy them the best pick and shovel in Callao, in all of Peru."
With that, Monsieur Gaunt hurried to the hold and busied himself with the jackknife. He cut holes in the potatoes and slipped in the grape cuttings, like so many straws. The next morning, a wind from the south came up, and the Lady Wilma's canvas swelled in a great white billows. A happy shout went up, and the ship began to move through the sea. For days after that, Mr. Azariah Jones stopped anyone who would listen to say, "Remarkable pair, Praiseworthy and the lad, born traders, you know. Imagine finding a buyer for 18 barrels of spoiled potatoes." Snapping winds drove the gold ship into even warmer latitudes. Soon the Argonauts were down to shirt sleeves again, and growing excitement took hold of them, as if they could smell land in the air. Men began to trim their beards and wash their clothes. Callao stood 10 days ahead. In his stocking cap, Jack was taking on the aspect of a young sailor. The salt air and the wind had toughened his face, and his eyes narrowed with the look of distance in them. He wandered higher and higher into the riggings and exploring the mysteries aloft, the foot ropes and the shrouds and the blocks. More than once the boatswain and bantam, with a voice like a frog's, chased him down, but it was like trying to keep a boy out of the backyard tree. Hanging onto a yardarm, Jack was the first to notice the white speck on the horizon behind the Lady Wilma. The speck grew into sails, and sails into a ship, and the ship turned out to be the Sea Raven.
"She's gaining on us!" shouted Mountain Jim.
By noon, the Sea Raven was alongside, skimming lightly over the sea. The wind seemed to pick her up and carry her along like a feather.
"Blast!" roared Captain Swain, "and me half sunk in the water with building bricks. Bricks! I've a notion to dump them overboard."
By dusk, the Sea Raven was gone, beyond the horizon, far ahead.